As I warned you before, this sermon is going to cover all three of those scripture readings. But we start with that first one in Numbers chapter 11. Today being the Feast of the Holy Trinity, now I was equipped and trained about all this about 100 years ago, so it isn't really all that, not as many. But anyway, there are four feast days every church year. The Feast of the Nativity, which is Christmas, when the Father sent his Son. The Feast of Easter, the Resurrection, when the Son rose from his death on the cross. And the third is this one today, the Pentecost, that special outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we'll hear about in just a little bit. But here, we're looking forward to it here in Numbers here. So Moses went out. The people of Israel have been out of Egypt now for a little while, but they're not yet in the promised land. They're there in the desert. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered what was going on. The words of the Lord was trying to help Moses. Moses was overwhelmed. He was doing everything as a leader. And, of course, he couldn't cover everything and do everything for that massive group of people. And it still happens, I understand, once in a while in congregations that people complain about something. But in that group, people were complaining, and it was just getting Moses down. So God came up with a plan that he appointed 70 people to help Moses in his leadership role. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. But they did not do so again. Very interesting. This spirit, the Lord was making it clear that his spirit was using all of these people. But I love that last line. But they did not do so again. It's a reminder that the Spirit of God moves in a variety of ways, in different ways for different people. There are some times when a person has a tremendous experience of the Holy Spirit who turns on the light for him, opens the door, and the love of Christ, his forgiveness, the gospel becomes clear to him and powerful, and it's just such a terrific, terrific experience. And that's great. A mistake that some of those people make is thinking, if this hasn't happened to you, you're not a real Christian yet. You've got to have the same experience of the feeling the fire come upon you. And one of the things that this text says, and we see it repeated various times through it, the Holy Spirit doesn't work the same way in everybody. Sometimes he works and it's like turning on a fire and them very obvious resurrection and new life. Sometimes he works very slowly and gently. And sometimes it feels like he's missing altogether. Part of the point is, don't focus on how you feel. Focus on the word and promise of the Lord. Focus on what he says to you about his Son, Jesus Christ, and the cross and what happened on Good Friday, fulfilled, guaranteed by what happened, made clear by what happened on the third day with the resurrection. So don't worry if you do have that high spirit and it fades away. Doesn't mean the wind is not there. It's the wind blows different ways, different directions. We can't control it, but the Spirit is there working on us. Well, that's a good reminder for us, hopefully, from there. The next reading, we're taking them chronologically, so we come to the gospel now in John chapter 7. On the last day of the festival, this festival was the Festival of Booths. I have trouble saying that. It's B-O-O-T-H-S. There's no Z in there. The Festival of Booths is also sometimes called the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, one of the things on the last day, one of the rituals among the Jews then on the last day of that week-long festival of tabernacles, water is poured out in a symbolic way. And it's interesting, Jesus picks up on that. On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." And John explains, now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive. So that image of the water pouring out is an image of the Holy Spirit. The symbol and reality are together in holy baptism. With the pouring of water, the Spirit comes and creates new life and brings a new presence of the Lord and his love and forgiveness within the person being baptized. Through the water of baptism, the Spirit of God flowed into you so that through you, he can flow into the hearts and lives of the people around you. Well, then we get to what is the second reading in the book of Acts, and this is the story that we most remember about this Pentecost Sunday, what happened 50 days after Jesus' resurrection. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together. They, if you look back at it, it could mean the 120 disciples who were gathered who are mentioned in several verses earlier. It does appear to be somewhat more than just the 12 apostles. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire home where they were sitting. Divided tongues of fire appeared among them, and a tongue of fire rested on each of them. I wish I could have been there. Can you imagine what this must have been for them with all this going on, with the rumbling like thunder? Wasn't thunder, but it sure sounded like it. And the tongues as of fire. Was it really fire? Luke is writing this because he heard it from at least one of the persons who was actually there on this happening. But these people probably had trouble putting this into words. But this is how they describe it. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. But here's the key thing. This is what was mostly going on. Don't get distracted by the fire and the sound and how interesting all that is. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. That is an incredible thing. But we want to make sure while we are interested by that and pay attention to that, don't stop there. What's important is what they were saying in all those different languages. And that's explained here as the people were saying, look here, and he lists these people, Jewish people came from around that part of the world for this festival of his feast in Jerusalem. And Luke here lists, I counted them, I think they're either 14 or 16, but I forgot. But it doesn't make a difference. We'll just average it out. But then it ends. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All of them were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? There's where Martin Luther got that question, isn't it? But others sneered and said they are filled with new wine. They were talking about God's deeds of power. And as you go on through here, you find very clearly what those deeds of power were that he was doing. Peter gets up to talk shortly after that. This guy who, 7 weeks before, denied Jesus, that he knew Jesus, did it three times. Peter gets up and talks, and he's a new person. And it's no surprising because Peter was always talking, the first one to speak up. But him, He gets up and he speaks, and he speaks very wisely and very good. The Spirit of the Lord had apparently, obviously, fallen on him also. So he goes on to explain what was going on there. And you that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man, and he went on to explain how this man, Jesus, was handed over to the people who crucified him. He suffered and died that awful death. And right at that point of that day we call Good Friday, when it looked like total defeat for God and his people, total loss, it's actually a total victory. Another reminder that we have a God who, in the lives of his people, he brings victory where it looks like a defeat. It looks like... So here he brought this victory to his people through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ there. So today, that wind of the word is still blowing around. Jesus Christ is still breathing his spirit into the hearts and lives of people all around the world. And we hear stories of that. And it's happening here at Redeemer. It's happening as we gather together in his name and through his word. That spirit, maybe you don't always notice it or realize it or think about it. That's okay. You don't have to. It still happens. Through his word, the spirit is touching you. Now, of course, if you're sleeping and dream, your mind is somewhere else, well, that's another story. But assuming you're here with it and into it, the Spirit of God is coming to you to work in your mind and your heart to bring an increase of the forgiveness and love of Jesus Christ deep into your inner being so that more and more of it flows out to other people today, this week, and on. So part of what we need to do is we need to put ourselves where that wind of the Spirit is blowing. And that's what you've done by being here this morning. And in a variety of ways through his word and your devotions and spiritual life, you keep putting yourself and opening yourself to the Spirit. And he keeps coming to you in a variety of ways. But he keeps coming to you to grow his love, the love of Christ within you. You're probably not surprised to hear that I'm a little bit of a fan of Martin Luther. And maybe some of you learn this in catechism, Luther's catechism. It pulls together the third article, which is about the Holy Spirit. This is what it means. Luther says, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. If you're a Christian and Christ has come to you, you can't take any credit for that. That's the Holy Spirit's work who came to you and do that. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctifies and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth. That's what's going on around the world today. It's great hearing some of those stories. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. Isn't that a great promise? And it's true. Daily and richly, he comes to us with his forgiveness. And then it all will lead. On the last day, Luther says, the Spirit will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. To that, we look forward. And I pray that every one of you gets just a little bit more, and maybe some of you a lot more excited about the Spirit and what he's doing in your life and in our world today. In his name, amen.